Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team today. Coming up in just about an hour, Peter Laviolette, head coach of your Washington Capitals, will join us. They're in their stretch run. Season ends on May 11th, so that's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to touch on, though, the fact that the NFL draft is 10 days from today, April 29th. It is looming. It's coming. And the latest from Ron Rivera, Washington football team head coach, and we're taking this from NBCSports.com, from an article by Ethan Cadeau. Ron feels like the moves that they've made in free agency gives them some flexibility in the draft. They don't feel like they have to reach for anybody. They don't feel like they have to scramble. I think they feel comfortable sitting at 19 and seeing how the draft unfolds. The quote from Ron, I think what our front office did and what we were able to do in free agency really helped us. I think we freed ourselves up because of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel the same way?
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. I still think there's positions of need, but they don't have to reach for a player. I don't think they have to. They're not forced to trade up to get a certain guy. Look, at 19, you know you're going to get a really good player, at least a very highly ranked player. Might not be best in his position, but mm-hmm. you know, top two or three at his position. So if they feel like they have to go out and get a left tackle, then they could do that. If they feel like they can go get a really good receiver, they can do that. You know, if
or
they feel
linebacker.
Like there's a linebacker. I mean, if Zaven Collins from Tulsa's there and they really like him, they can do that.
Mel Kiper's got an interesting two-round mock draft where he's got quite a bit of movement in front of him. The Patriots look like they're one of the big players in his mock. He's got them moving up to 10, I think, to selecting Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got Washington selecting a linebacker from Notre Dame at 19. And then coming back around in the second round, and this is where I think people would be excited, where they take the quarterback from Stanford, Davis Mills. Bill. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. Now you have somebody that you can build around potentially. And being a second rounder, you would hope that would mean that they wouldn't feel the need to necessarily have to throw him in regardless of what Fitzpatrick is doing.
Right.
So that might actually make some sense. You take one in the second round, so you have somebody you can kind of groom for a year or two. But in the meantime, you can get to business of winning with your veteran that you bring in.
Mm-hmm.
See, my big fear is if they find some way to draft one of these guys in the first round, that then they're just going to be in a rush to get him out into the field.
You mean a QB? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just think this team is too good to necessarily force feed a rookie quarterback into it.
Yeah, I don't see going out and paying Fitzpatrick $10 million plus or whatever he signed his deal and then playing him for a few games and then turning to a rookie. I just don't see that as being the plan.
Yeah.
Unless he was completely awful.
If he's if he comes here and he's terrible and he has a bunch of multi-pick games and you have to sit him, okay, then that makes sense. But I don't see making that investment in him, and you know he's solid to above average when he's playing well. I just don't see having that that rookie breathing down his neck as a good thing for the room.
Well, didn't you make an investment in Heineke too?
Yeah, but it's
a little bit.
It's pretty
million.
It's pretty modest. It's pretty modest. But it is it is interesting, you know, the quarterbacks that you all talk about as far as Kuiper's draft, they're all gone obviously by the time Washington selects.
How many does he have going in the first round? Is he have 5 or 6? I can pull it up here.
I have to count, you know, on my fingers and toes while I'm doing this. But the last one he has going, I believe, is Fields to New England. I was looking at what receivers would be in the vicinity, and we've looked at Elijah Moore before, right? We've looked at him on tape. He's kind of a smaller-ish receiver, slot receiver from Ole Miss. He may not fit the bill since they picked up this slot receiver that Fitzpatrick loves. I've already forgotten
Humphreys.
The guy's name.
Adam Humphreys.
He only signed a one-year deal. Like Humphreys, I think, is on a prove-it type of deal. Like, so if you like Elijah Moore and his explosiveness and you think like he's a mini Tyreek Hill type and he's a good value wherever you're going to select him, I don't see him as being a guy that you don't pick just because Humphreys is there.
Another guy that could be available that Kuiper has going in the first round later is Terrace Marshall Jr., the receiver from LSU.
He's a big kid. He's a stud. He's a physical stud. And you know, all these guys from LSU are obviously making an impact, but he's a bigger guy, so he's a little bit different than the Moore.
But
or Rondale Moore, too. Rondale Moore is also very quick.
He'd probably be available. Also, he has the Packers selecting Rashad Bateman, the receiver from Minnesota, at 29.
Mm-hmm. That's so there the are second mock that we've seen recently that has Bateman mocked to the Packers, because John Clayton was on with us at the end of last week, and that's who he was selecting in his mock. So that seems to be a popular opinion.
Mm-hmm. The other one that I've seen is the offensive, I guess he's the left tackle from Virginia Tech.
Darisol,
he's got him going at 14, though, to Minnesota. So Washington wouldn't really be in play for him unless they potentially move up if it plays out the way Mel thinks.
But you know at 19 you're going to get a really good player.
Yeah.
So if you don't think or want them to move up for a certain position, you could sit there at 19. You know you're going to get a stud.
And I don't hate the idea of trading back, too, if you're Washington. If somebody, you know, wants to move up to 19 because there's a player that they want, and, you know, if you're Washington and you have a range of three or four guys, you know you can get at 25 to 28, somewhere in that range, I would have no problems trading back and accumulating picks.
And Bickle's already said that if they take a lineman at 19, that's kind of a dud.
I'm going to be disappointed.
Even though it could be a really good player in a position of need, and he could be a high impact player, it just doesn't get him sized.
That's true. Very true. I mean, I'm just never going to be excited about a left tackle.
Those guys aren't sexy, Jason. You know that.
Yeah, but aren't you psyched that it addresses a need?
Yeah, sure. But it just doesn't get me that excited, to be honest with you.
Who's their number one? Who's their left tackle, starting left tackle right now on the depth chart? Is it Christian or is it someone else? Am I missing somebody?
I don't even really know.
I'll look up the silly depth chart right now.
Moses is obviously on the right side. It might be Christian.
Yeah. I just don't get that size. I mean, if you take one in the top two or three, like, you know, potentially maybe like the best player in the draft, but like taking one at 19. Mm-hmm. I don't get that.
According to ESPN's depth chart, here is your pecking order as of right now: Christian, Sadiq Charles, Cornelius Lucas. You see the depth chart.
You know what? They may feel like they got Sadiq Charles as that guy going forward,
guy that
future left tackle. Played one play, but he could have been a potential first round pick, second round pick that slipped because of certain issues, and he went in the fourth. But I think at one point he was certainly graded as a first or a second round
pick. I just didn't think that left tackle was some massive hole that held them back.
Maybe it's not.
So
who knows?
So
maybe
to me, linebacker was a much bigger need.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you have a chance to get like a big play receiver, that's going to be something that's going to get you excited. But just picking a run of the mill tackle, I don't get that size. Sorry.
I don't think he gets sized.
Yep, not that interesting.
I'm Team EB here because you know what? Last time I've been to a fantasy draft, you don't draft tackles.
Yeah.
You draft skill players.
Position. Skill players.
That's what you draft.
We've been bringing in like old veteran guys that kind of come in and do the job. They're good enough.
You know what, Cakes? I'm going to start the first ever lineman fantasy league.
Well, it will be wildly unpopular. I can tell you that. I can tell you that right now. How would you – pancake blocks?
Pancakes. You get deducted points for holding calls and false starts.
Oh, you know what? Terrible. I might do it. It might be a two-man league, but I might do it.
Let me ask you a question. Let's just say for whatever reason, they're at 19, all right? And obviously Lawrence is gone, Wilson's gone, Fields is gone, Mac Jones is gone. But Trey Lance somehow slips to 19.
Personally, I wouldn't draft him.
Do you think that Washington would take him at 19?
Oh, I think in a heartbeat. Yeah. They wouldn't be able to get the card in quick enough. If he fell to 19, yes.
Yep, I think maybe, but I just
know he has another pro day today.
Is that going to be on TV?
I think it is. I think it's probably gonna be on NFL Network.
You know why he needs it? Because people are not so impressed. I mean,
no, a lot of these guys have had two.
A lot of them have two pro days.
Fields had two. Mac Jones had two. They've had two.
Yeah, it's fine. I know, but if you're silly.
Well, let me ask you this.
You don't need two, three.
Would you rather Washington at 19? If Lance slips to 19, would you rather Washington take a left tackle at 19 or Lance?
I guess Lance for the show. But I told you, I think Lance is a great athlete. He seems like a great kid. But I have serious questions. I just think questions.
I know. I don't think he'll be available at 19, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't see him falling tonight. I don't see him falling to 19.
No,
I don't see him falling out of the top 10.
Yeah, I think someone's going to trade
up. I'd be shocked if he's not. If he's there at 9 and Denver is on the clock, how do you not take him if you're Denver? You can't be sold on Drew Lock at this point. Mm-hmm. You got major question marks there.
Jason, I was listening to Ryan Leaf this weekend talking. He was on a radio show, and he said that he believes that the Jets are just tricking everyone, and they're going to take Fields at 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, he just said Fields has proven himself. He proved himself that he's the real deal. He's just as good, and he thinks taking the chance on Zach Wilson is a much bigger flyer than Fields. And there's nothing that's come out that said the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. Just everyone, I think, kind of assumes that.
Mm-hmm. I know every single mock draft. There's not one mock draft I've seen in the last month that has the Jets taking anybody else. But who knows? They don't know anything.
Well, the thing that has been the most mind-boggling to me has been sort of the inexplicable drop. And I've mentioned it for weeks. The inexplicable drop of Fields from like 2 to like 10 or 11. I don't understand it. You know, the guy was pretty darn good for a year and a half at Ohio State, and it just seemed like I just don't understand why everyone's denigrating him now.
Because part of the reason is there's all this time where we just tear guys down.
Right.
You know, make them seem like they're just completely worthless when we loved them while they were in college.
Mm-hmm. You know what my theory is?
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
No, I don't think it's that absurd. I was telling Drab about it this morning, is that statistically, the majority of rookie quarterbacks that are drafted suck. They're flops. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that you want to predict that a quarterback is going to be a flop, but these people don't know anything about evaluating quarterbacks. If they did, they'd be a GM. So what you do is that you just nitpick these people to death and try to figure out why they're going to be a flop, but you're just playing the statistics that they're going to be a flop.
Mm-hmm. You're playing the odds.
Odds are Justin Fields is going to suck.
Right.
The odds are Zach Wilson's going to suck. The odds are Trey Lance is going to suck. But now you just got to figure out why they're going to suck. So now you're just throwing darts at a dartboard to try and give you a reason why.
But these mock drafts still have those guys going real high. The top three picks in every mock draft you have are the quarterbacks.
Right. Well, just because every team's quarterback starved.
And we don't know about Lawrence. We don't know about Lawrence. I mean, Lawrence obviously a great college player.
Well, the big thing is that Trevor Lawrence doesn't like football. Mm-hmm. That's since he skipped the workout for a wedding.
Well, no, he said he likes it, but he doesn't. He doesn't live or breathe it.
Well, he has to defend himself. I mean, that's a little absurd.
It all just comes down to Sundays. They're going to prove it on Sundays. If they suck,
who would you take if you had this? Let's say Lawrence is out of the equation, and you had the second pick. I think I might roll the dice with Wilson. Of all the skill sets of the other guys.
Who based on watching him play in college?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're going to do fine with both Wilson and Fields or Jones. Just Jones is just not not the athlete the other two guys are. Mm-hmm. But what Kyle Shanahan sees in a quarterback, we may see something totally different. He certainly knows what he's looking at.
If you want to weigh in on the Washington football team approach to the upcoming draft, you can do that on the Gambit DC listener lines. 800-636-1067 is the number. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. We'll take your calls on what the Washington football team is going to do in the upcoming NFL draft next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Junkies 25th anniversary presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. So thanks to them for all their support throughout year 25. We do appreciate it.
Well, I'm trying to find this read you guys want me to do. Just don't see it. Don't see it on the outline.
You can do it whenever. I didn't mean to send you into a panic. I'm just letting you know that at some point you need to do it.
There's a show outline where it says 6, 620, 640, 7, 720, 740. I'm looking at that, and I don't see it.
Eric, are you just realizing that I send a show sheet every day attached with liners and everything on it?
I never click on that.
That's where it is.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, you just scroll all the way to the bottom of the email, and there's something called an attachment, and you just click
it. That has nothing to do with me. I normally don't read that.
I know, but it is there.
All right. Well, here, definitely don't do the read right now. Just do it later.
Well, also, you should see what it comes in. It comes in like hieroglyphics, so it doesn't even come in English.
What?
So you should see what it looks like when I hit the attachment.
I see it. Is it the very bottom of the show sheet?
I see the bottom. Yeah. That part is in English. You should see the rest of it.
I see it right now.
I will send you a picture, and you can tell me what letters those are.
Radio Insider.
They look like Greek letters. I will text this picture to you.
By the way, Valdez during the break says, "Hey, Lurch, I need a favor." I said, "All right, what's up?" He says, "I'm supposed to play golf with Logan Thomas tomorrow." And I said, "Really? How'd that work?" He's got some buddy who knows Logan.
Some connection.
And Logan wants to play golf, and he's coming straight from the bubble in Ashburn from practice, so he needs to be close to Ashburn. He says, "Don't you have some connections, Ash?" "Of course. I can call my man Scott Seville or John Ronis over at River Creek. Got connections at Belmont." I said, "I'm a member at Evergreen. You can go out there." He said, "No, that's too far away." So apparently Valdez is going to play golf with Logan Thomas tomorrow, and just we have to figure out where.
Look at that power pairing.
That'll be good. That'll be interesting. Be you get your take on the who's the guy that they signed? What is he, like Greek or Argentinian or whatever?
Chilean.
Yeah. By the way, he was on with Grant and Danny last week. I can't remember what day it was. Mm-hmm. His story is pretty amazing. Like, that is a dude that you're absolutely rooting for to make the team. And, I mean, he couldn't be rawer. I mean, he's never played organized football.
Is it Sammy or Samus?
I think it's Samus Reyes.
Reyes is the last name, right?
So he signs, like, this international futures type contract with the Washington football team. And he was a guy who came to America to play hoops.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he was playing basketball here like as a teenager. He was like 15 years old. And his high school just all of a sudden just folded up. The program just was like, you know, it's one of these fly-by-night operations, basketball mm-hmm. factories. And he was basically just left stranded here in the United States by himself. He was living by himself, and he was surviving by eating, like, beans out of a can. And
that's
he
crazy.
Told Grant and Danny he would go down to, like, the donut shop at the end of the night, and the owner would take pity on him and give him, like, a dozen donuts for, like, a buck. Mm. And he would live on that and beans and somehow survived and made it through to college, played college ball, and caught the eye of a bunch of NFL scouts.
Well, didn't he play at Tulane? How long was he at Tulane?
Played at Tulane. I'm not sure how long he was there, but his journey, he was basically left in a foreign country by himself to fend for himself when he's 15 years old.
How did his parents not just send him back home?
I don't know. I don't know all of the inner workings of the story. I just know that he was surviving by himself here as a teenager.
Like, right.
Could you imagine being 15 years old and being dropped off in Chile and saying, yeah, you don't know the language. Good luck. You're on your own.
Well, not that this is completely life-changing money, but for someone who was just, you know, eating dollar meals,
right?
He gets almost $400,000 in guaranteed money from signing with WFT. Mm-hmm. And he's getting – and also $20,000, I think, to sign. So,
and the reason they're signing him is because his athletic measurables are just off the charts. So they just want to take that athletic skill and harness it into football and hope that he can just blow by dudes on the field.
He's a
physical freak. And if they can somehow, you know, harness some of that and refine the raw talent, I mean, I wouldn't expect a lot as a rookie, but he's a guy that you're clearly going to root for to make the team. And if he develops, I mean, he's just a physical super freak.
Yeah. Right. Raw, I mean, but
there have
freakish.
Been guys that have done it. There have definitely been guys that have just gone from, like, the college hoops to the NFL. I don't know. When you saw the clips, looks like he can catch. He obviously can run and jump. You've seen all that. You know,
has he ever been tackled?
I don't know if he can take
probably
the contact.
Probably not.
I don't know if he understands what that's like.
He probably took a charge or two.
Yeah.
But, look, Mo Alie-Cox did it.
Well, there are lots of guys that have done it, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm just thinking about tight ends, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what about Jimmy Graham? I mean, I don't know what his football background was, right? But he was wasn't he a college hoopster?
Antonio Gates was definitely, you know, that same sort of route that he took.
Now, Tony Gonzalez played both.
Yeah.
But God, I'm so old.
Jimmy Graham played major college football.
Uh huh. Right. So did Tony Gonzalez. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the same thing.
But I'm pulling for that dude, man. He is a survivor type story, and it's, you know, it's pretty encouraging what he's done so far, and we'll see what he does in.
But think about Logan Thomas. He'll have a great insight on this just from changing positions, right? To go from quarterback to tight end, and even took Logan 4 or 5 years to get established. So I mean, this really could be a long haul deal.
Getting back to Logan, how long do you think he hits the ball off the tee, Valdez? He probably.
I don't know, but I'm sized to outdrive him.
I know you are.
If he smokes one and you smoke one, my money's on him.
By the way, you have to like wear your best golf outfit, Valdez. You might have to make a quick trip out to Golfdom.
Yeah, I'll say
today.
What's up, buddy.
Go see what's up.
You might have to do that.
Wear some of that Lululemon.
You can't wear some ragtag outfit if you're playing with Logan Thomas.
You know, when I reached out to Buddy, I said something about Buddy on the air.
I'm sure his Nassau would be a little more expensive than mine.
Yeah. Right before I went to Augusta, remember I said, man, Buddy should send me some silly Lulu?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So somebody said something to Buddy, and he texted me, and he said, just let me know if you need anything. I didn't have the balls to say, oh, well, what I need is some of that silly Lulu gear you have.
Right. Yeah.
So I just said, oh, you're the man. Thanks, Buddy.
And you didn't follow up?
Well, no, I mean, what am I going to ask for something?
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable. I'm not that good at that part.
He's offering, and he knows you're going to talk about him.
Let me know if you need anything.
There's the payoff right there.
I didn't know what to say because I don't need anything.
So Buddy and I are in a golf pool where we take one guy, and we have a little side bet. It's $15 a week. Whoever finishes higher, the other guy pays 15. Venmo's $15. And this mofo, he's beaten me like 18 out of 20 weeks.
Oh, he's got your number.
Oh, you're hemorrhaging money to him.
Oh, 15 a week, 15, 15. It's adding up.
You better do some more live spots, Ricky. Pay for that. Pay for that habit.
That's right. But this week he had Webb Simpson down at the Heritage and Hilton Head, and I had Cam Smith. And Cam Smith shot 62 on Thursday, and I thought, all right, this is good. Webb Simpson played like butt on Thursday. At one point, Bickle, I had an 11-shot lead on Webb Simpson because I think Webb Simpson was one or two over at one point. Anyway, Webb Simpson comes all the way back. We ended up tying, but that's the kind of luck I'm having in this pool where my guy shot 62, his guy shot 73, and he still tied me.
By the way, if you ever want to care about golf less than you actually do, forget to submit your one-and-done picks, which is what I did in our pool this week. Because usually I'll check in a few times, like see where, how my guys are faring, see if they made the cut, sweat them during the weekend. I miss sending in my picks. I couldn't have cared less about what was going on at the RBC Heritage.
Your mind has been on other things. You forgot to put your picks in.
I did.
You forgot the Caps played at 12 o'clock. I don't know where your mind's playing tricks on you.
My mind is playing tricks.
I don't know what's going on with you.
My mind's like scrambled eggs of late. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I'm not going to miss my Slider Cup picks this week.
Yeah.
They'll be in by like tomorrow.
I don't know. Something's going on.
Not waiting till the last minute this week.
Yeah. Get your priorities straight.
I took my medicine. I learned my lesson.
Yeah. I think about it from whenever they hand the trophy to the winner on Sundays,
right.
So when Stewart Cink's raising the trophy, I start thinking about the next week and how many picks
I'm sure
make.
You do. By the way, can you tell me what RBC is? It's the RBC Heritage. Does anybody know what that is? I don't even know what that is.
I always thought it was Royal Bank of something, but I could be
yeah,
totally
isn't it
wrong.
A bank or some sort of wealth management company?
If you say so, sure. I would guess bank or some sort of like IT company. That's what I'm going to go with.
Let me see what that says.
Have you ever been in a lighthouse like that?
Royal Bank of Canada. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Have you ever been in one of those lighthouses?
No.
I'm so scared of heights. Those things aren't that tall. Mm-hmm. They're maybe like 7 or 8 stories up.
Right.
That might even be a stretch. I get butt scared. I can barely tolerate. The wind blows, and I feel like I'm going to fall over.
Hold on. You've been up in the top of a lighthouse? How did that happen?
Yeah. They're like, you go to certain places, they're like tourist attractions.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean? I've certainly been to one in Jupiter, actually.
Right.
And it just gets windy, and don't get sized. But I saw a bunch of people up there watching the golf.
I know.
From the lighthouse there.
They always, whenever you go up high, it always feels like you're up higher than you actually are. Because, like, when I'm at Kiawah, I go up, like, on this marsh lookout tower that's near one of the golf courses.
Uh-huh.
And it's... It might be 45 or 50 feet high, but when you look down, you feel like you're 500 feet up.
Right.
You're looking down, you're like, oh, my God, like, could you imagine falling from this height? You would definitely die, and it looks way higher than it actually is.
All I think about is falling. That's all I think about when I'm up high anywhere.
And it just seems rickety. It just doesn't seem that stable.
But one of my wife's big complaints against me, and there's about a million of them, but one of her big complaints is whenever we book hotels anywhere, I refuse to stay like above the third floor. So like we could get like have some silly resort, beachfront, amazing. But if it's like on the 7th story, I go, nope.
Oh, you would have been bitter at my last room at MGM National Harbor. I think I was on the 20th floor.
Did they have a balcony? If they had no balcony,
no.
Balcony.
Fine.
They don't have balconies at casinos.
They don't have balconies. You know, like people would jump.
Every chance.
No, sometimes they do. At the Luxor, it's like when you got to go up each floor,
right?
It's open balcony or whatever on the inside. It's actually kind of scary.
Doesn't the Luxor, because it's slanted, it has like
the elevators go sideways.
Way. They go like a pyramid. It's weird.
Yeah. It's the weirdest place ever.
And there were a billion ants there when we were there back in, I don't know what year that was.
It was like 2000 or something, yeah.
I've stayed at the Luxor like a dozen times.
Oh, you have?
I'm like a grizzled veteran. I feel like I should have like a black card there or something.
You're basically Egyptian.
Maybe that's why the email comes in hieroglyphics.
That could be. Did you see? I sent you how that attachment came to me. Did you see it, Valdez? I think I sent it to you. I don't know why.
Did you open it in Word?
I just opened it.
Yeah.
I just did what every other human does. I clicked it and I opened it.
Well, I've sent about 250 of those, and this is the first one you've opened.
It doesn't have stuff for me. The stuff in there is not interesting to me. I don't need it. Those are JP's reads or Cakes' reads. But yeah, I'm money. Just tell me when you want to read. For some reason, that read is in English. Everything else is in, like, I don't know what that is, Cakes. They look like it looks like a Greek frat house.
All right, so when we come back, maybe EB will do the read that he needs to do. And Valdez, you'll be shocked. I watched some new TV to me just last night. I might be hooked. I might have to tell you
about it.
Are we
going to get a review?
I'll give you a review next. Right here on the face.
Well, I've got a read for you, Cakes.
Okay, please give it to me.
And you knew golf season was here, right?
Yeah, I know that.
I want you to go to the source for the best selection in clubs, apparel, shoes, and more. It's Golfdom. Our good friends over there, Golfdom, Buddy Christensen, he's the guy to ask for. Golfdom's fully stocked with the latest in clubs, including the Callaway Apex DCB Irons and Epic Woods. Shop all the new stylish clothing for on and off the course. Peter Millar, G4, Jay Lindbergh, Lululemon, and more. And for new golfers, Golfdom's got a great package set options to get you started. Golfdom is located in Tysons, right off the Beltway, or you can check them out online, golfdomgolf.com. Golfdom, live the game.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, in just about 17 minutes, Washington Capitals head coach Peter LaViolette is going to join the show, as he does every single week, so you don't want to miss that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we want to thank McDonald's for hooking us free fries for real. That's right. For a limited time, you can get a free medium fries cakes when you try any of McDonald's new crispy chicken sandwiches. Mm-hmm. How great is that?
Well, love that McDonald's. Sounds like a delicious deal, and I don't know how you could ever bypass McDonald's fries, especially if they are free.
It's very hard.
They don't cost you nothing, so that is a good deal. All right, I teased some new TV that I'm watching, new to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because I told Drab T-shirt, look, I have an open mind. I can try new things. I can sample new things. He is now a big Formula One mark because he watched Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix, a.k.a. Netflix. And I watched the first two episodes of season one. They're into season three now, but I'm a late adopter to F1 Drive to Survive. My initial rating after two episodes, 4.5 cake batters.
That's pretty strong. Out of five?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Silly.
I'll just say this because, look.
Give us the setting, the whole deal.
I mean, this goes back to, I believe it's the 2018 F1 season, Drive. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe it might be.
Yep. And it just sets up, you know, the various storylines. It takes you behind the scenes with the drivers and the teams. Who are the haves and the have-nots in the F1 racing world?
Who's the number one F1 driver? Do we know their names? Are they super famous?
Yes. You can tell. Drab T-shirt can tell you all of their names.
Who's the number one ranked F1
driver? Give me the number one ranked F1 driver.
Lewis Hamilton.
All right, I've heard of him.
Okay,
Lewis Hamilton, who I believe drives for Mercedes. Is that correct,
right.
Drab?
Correct.
So,
all right,
you know,
give me number two.
You wouldn't know.
Right. So I only know.
Is it
Lewis
Leclerc
Hamilton?
Slash
Leclerc? he's pretty famous.
All right.
Max Verstappen is probably the second most famous.
No right idea who that is.
Never heard of him. Yeah.
Here's why, so
you lose me at Lewis Hamilton.
Here's why the series is really good. Because they can take something that, I mean, I haven't seen an F1 race in literally 30 plus years. Maybe I watched some when I was a kid.
I've seen one ever.
I have not consumed the product at all as an adult. But they take you behind the scenes. They show you how much, you know, manpower goes into every team, how much money is at stake, how much money is poured into these teams, hundreds of millions of dollars invested per team.
Where do they race?
They race all over the world.
Everywhere.
Like that's one thing I want to touch on.
Countries.
In the second, I think it was in the second episode, they were racing, EB, in Azerbaijan.
Okay.
when they
heard of that.
When they put up the graphic that they were taking the Grand Prix to Azerbaijan, I was like, do they even have like tall buildings in this place? Like, I've heard of it. When they showed the city, it looked like Paris or looked like London or it looked silly. It looks silly.
Yeah, well, I guarantee it's not silly to go.
I'm sure it's not, but yeah, I was blown away. I was like, Azerbaijan has
what's it near?
I think it's over near like
was it near Russia,
China, and like in that region.
Like
middle to far east is what I'm going to say.
Uh huh. But look like fully developed silly country.
Well, at least in the big city. I don't know what the rest of the country looks like, but the part they were zooming around at about 200 miles per hour. It looked amazing.
It's a former Soviet republic.
Okay. And I'm guessing it's a lot of...
And it's bounded by the Caspian and the Caucasus Mountains.
Right. Sounds arctic.
No, they only put races in silly spots. They're not, I mean, tourist spots.
Do they have any in the United States? I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Yes. Where do they do it?
Like in Indianapolis or something?
Didn't they have one in Baltimore like five years back?
I think they did, yes.
Can't be that silly.
Not Formula One. Couldn't have been.
Probably so less like a lower circuit.
Like an F4?
Maybe.
But like I couldn't believe like when they were talking about the money that gets poured into these teams, like Ferrari and Mercedes, those they spend the most.
Right.
But like these smaller teams like McLaren and Renault, they're spending like $150 or $200 million. Like these startups are putting this huge dollar investment into these teams where they're just butting heads with the heavyweights and trying to knock them off.
You know who else spends? I'm sold.
I'm going to watch every episode.
You know who else spends a lot of cash? Red Bull.
Red Bull sponsors.
F1.
Oh, yes. They're a huge sponsor. I see that all over the place.
I can't change the oil in my car. I'm not a gearhead at all.
I can barely put gas in.
I can't either.
But there's something riveting about Formula One. And, you know, it helped when I started by watching this documentary that's like Hard Knocks for racing.
Yeah, Drabby, in the first episode of season one, one of the teams, the Haas team, which is one of the nubbers, it's you know one of the also-rans that only spends $150 million on their team. One of the guys who put the wheels on botched it. Wheel fell off like within two laps. The guy was despondent. despondent, just beside himself because he let down the entire team. Well, he let down the driver.
What did he do?
Down the owner.
Forgot to. He didn't put the lug nut on.
Yeah, he didn't,
didn't put it on
nut.
Correctly. And then they did it for the second car because they have two. They have two drivers on the same team. They botched putting the wheel on again.
He's got to be fired. Here's
twice.
The question. Here's the question: is Cakes going to watch F1 now?
Sounds
is
like
is it.
It
that interesting that you would
see?
Watch
I'm not,
F1
I don't know
racing.
If I'm ready to make that leap, but I'm. I know I'm going to watch the documentary, and I think if I watch more of the documentary, that will spur my interest in at least checking in on F1. I don't know if I can watch the whole thing, but
right.
I'm telling you that
who else
doc
is like
does,
a compelling figure. Like, do they make any of the drivers compelling?
They're all compelling. Yeah, like guys I've never heard of, like Daniel Ricciardo from Australia. I want to know his story now. Now I want to know the story of Carlos Sainz from Spain, whose dad was a famous motorsports guy, and his rivalry with Fernando Alonso. I'm all in, Drab. I'm in.
This.
I'm an F1 head now.
Drab's smiling.
But is it more about the drivers, or is it more about the numbers behind the scenes?
No,
or is it a combination?
It's about the drivers.
I mean, you focus on the drivers because they're the stars, but mm-hmm. I mean,
do you get like the stars of their home life? Like, are these guys all like living in mansions?
Dude, they showed, I think it was the second episode. They showed the mansion of the dad who was like a famous Spanish race car driver, and his son is now competing at the highest level. Just a bomb house in Madrid, like silly pool. Jason would be jealous. Ton of acreage, silly pool, massive house. And
like
I looked at
resort,
it, I was like,
right?
I was like, the kid is only 24, 25. He couldn't have amassed that much wealth at this age, even though I know F1, they make a ton of money.
They do. They got
but
it. Yeah.
The dad, I'm guessing that's the dad's house where they were hanging out because his dad is a big silly over in Spain.
Well,
he's like an international superstar.
The principal of Mercedes, the team manager, his net worth is $700
million.
Mm. and the principal of Red Bull is married to Ginger Spice.
So hold on. When you say the principal, so that means like the owner.
It's the guy who runs the team, yeah.
So like the Dan Snyder of that team, or it's more the GM?
More the GM, yeah.
Uh-huh. What's more hoity-toity, F1 or golf?
F1.
I would think F1.
I don't know. It's hard to get more hoity-toity than golf.
Well, there's certain more money in it, that's for
there's
sure.
There's so much. Yeah. And those guys, they get treated like they are rock stars wherever they go. Like, they were showing the clips of, you know, Ricardo was racing in Melbourne. I mean, he was getting mobbed because he's from Australia. Mm-hmm. And when the Spanish guys are racing in Madrid, I mean, it's crazy. They get treated like Axl Rose back in the 80s.
Would I like this documentary?
I think you would.
Really?
It's funny. I've heard Drab talk about it, but maybe now I'll be intrigued. Yesterday afternoon, so I was watching, like everybody else, I was watching the Nats, and then I ended up watching, like I was telling you, Maryland beat Ohio State. And then I had a couple hours where I still wanted to watch something. So I went on Netflix out by the fire, and I said, okay, I'm going to watch something. And one of the first ones that popped up was the Formula One. But for some reason, I had it in my head that I wanted to find a murder doc. So I ended up stumbling onto – have you seen that one about the Cecil Hotel in L.A.?
I saw it. We talked about it.
We talked about it.
I don't remember every conversation. We have a million conversations. And,
yes, we saw it.
It's okay. I don't know. I don't love it so far. Yeah,
well,
I don't love it so far.
If you paid,
I passed
if you,
on the F1.
If you paid attention to regarding the Hotel Cecil, if you paid attention to the news, you knew how that woman disappeared years ago or whenever it happened.
Well, I haven't. I mean, I was barely paying attention to it. It wasn't capturing my attention that much.
It's very strange.
You're going to be disappointed. It sucks. It makes you hate people.
Yeah. How many episodes is it?
Makes me hate LA. Tell you that.
I think it's four.
I think
I only got through like one. So, but I could have watched the F1. Maybe I should just.
You should save yourself 3 hours of your life and
maybe
not watch
pivot.
Two through
yeah.
four.
Just try one episode. I think you're going to like it, EB. It's pretty intriguing.
Yeah, maybe I will. But what are all the F1 races like at noon on a Saturday?
I don't know.
It was at 9 a.m. yesterday on Sunday.
9 a.m. on a Sunday.
They're usually 7 to 9 a.m.
How long is the race?
It's perfect. About 2 hours.
2 hours. And then, I mean, so you know all the drivers now just from watching a documentary?
No, I didn't even finish the last season of the documentary because I was ready for the season to start. So yeah, I'm just.
Who's
focused
your?
On
do you have to have like a driver like these soccer geeks? You have to have a team
if you want. Yeah, you just.
Who's your driver?
My guy's Pierre Gasly.
Why do you like him?
Where's the? Go ahead.
Is he dreamy or something?
No, I mean he's a good-looking guy, but he got kicked off the Red Bull team. He got demoted, and now he's silly again.
I am Drab's favorite driver, Pierre. Where's the next stop, by the way, Drab, on the F1 circuit?
Isn't it Portugal? I think it's Portugal.
How would you know?
Because I don't know.
You're starting.
He
to get
looks
into
this
it?
Stuff up. Yeah, you know why? Because he's probably looking for picks for the next six gamer.
Right.
I'll be honest. I'm not quite sure where it's at.
I think it's Portugal.
Might be Portugal. It's coming
all
up.
All right, Kate. There's
something about Drab finding this.
You know what? You're all over
it's
it.
Intriguing to you?
Well, no. That it kind of takes away from it. Like it's Drab's. Like we're not allowed to have it because it's his.
Valdez is all over it. Portuguese Grand Prix May 2nd, 10 a.m.
It shouldn't be that way, though, Valdez. I know before, like, if you find a certain genre of something, I'll go and check it out later that day. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You'll say, oh, I found some taxi cab, you know, whatever, and we'll go check it out. What's the difference?
I don't know.
He's found a new niche here.
Hey, Drab, don't sleep. Coming up June 6th, the Azerbaijan circuit. They stop in Baku City.
Well, come on over Sunday morning. Me, you, and Bobby.
I might have to. Might be a good hang.
You've intrigued me, Cakes. You gave it 4.5 out of 5.
4.5. F1 drive to survive.
I do know he didn't watch the Kane Mutiny or whatever that was called that Feinstein recommended. No chance you watched that.
I have not watched that yet.
That or Casablanca?
I haven't watched either of those, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but when we come back, we are going to pivot away from F1. We're going to talk to Peter LaViolette, head coach of your Washington Capitals, next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.